Then let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Have you noticed a theme in the Bible that what God did to us, we're supposed to do to one another? What God did for us, he loved us, we're to love one another, as we're to walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. But fornication and all uncleanness, nor covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God that you've given us, and I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the Scriptures, and you'd help us to learn and remember. And Lord, there's so many things that pass us by so easily. There are things that are forgotten in the moment, and there are things that we ought to have committed to memory that we've been neglectful to do. And there are things, Lord, that we just forget conveniently because we want to go another way instead of going your way. So Lord, forgive us for that. Help us, Lord, to just understand your word and understand your will. Help us to be wise, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a lot to be said about the passage that we've just read, you know, from the outset, being followers of God as dear children. In other words, the idea is a child following in the footsteps of a parent, a father that they love. You know, sometimes that happens, for good or for ill. That happens. You know, we love our parents, and then we end up many times, you know, there's two ways children tend to go bad. The devil uses both against them. One, they become bitter against their parents and rebellious against what their parents try to teach them. And then on the other hand, they emulate the failures of their parents. They don't emulate the good, they emulate the bad. The devil uses that against people. But, you know, if children have a good heart, and they're dear children, if they have that respect and that love and that admiration, sometimes they'll follow that, and they desire to be that. They desire to be like that. And or maybe it's a grandparent that's the one that's emulated, and who knows what may happen in that regard. But we're told to follow God as dear children. Children that love and respect their Father. And we ought to love and respect our Heavenly Father, obviously. So we understand that we're to be followers of God as dear children. In other words, children, dear children, they trust, they emulate, they follow, they obey. You know, there's so many good things about them. But it goes on, and there's a lot of different things that we're told. As there, we're told, you know, to not be caught up in wicked sin, or even in filthiness, foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. Everybody loves a good joke, but it's not always the appropriate time to joke. You ought to spend more time thanking God than joking. I mean, God created humor. But there's a time and a place for it, isn't there? And it should never. And you know, that's what when you get on the television, what do they got? I mean, that's one of the staples of our thing. It's a sitcom. We just want to sit around and laugh at something. Don't matter if it's even appropriate to laugh at. We just want to laugh. You know, you got a lot of these big money paid comedians, they go in there and people think it's funny when they cuss and say vulgar things and everything like that. And they make a lot of money. There's a lot of money to be made. And there are some people with great talent and ability for humor and understanding humor. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if that's all you do, something's wrong. We're supposed to not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And we're supposed to live as those that are light. He says we're supposed to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, we shouldn't spend more time laughing about things than we do trying to make an impact on things. Why? Because the days are evil. It's getting worse. You don't fix something that's bad by laughing at it. Makes sense to you? It does to me. But then again, in verse 17, he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And of course he says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." But he says, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now if I were to ask you and go down and make me a list today, and I were to ask you and make this list, I could make a long list of things. And I could ask you, what is God's will? Now, if you don't know God's will, you are unwise. That's real cheap preaching, isn't it? But it's true. If you don't know God's will, you are unwise. Now, there are a lot of things I could tell you, things that we may fail at, but you know what God's will is about them. If I were to say, "What's God's will about stealing, theft?" What would you say? What's God's will about that? Don't do it, right? What's God's will about Lying. Don't do it, right? What's God's will about murder? Don't do it. Easy, isn't it? Isn't it funny how we make it complicated? Isn't it amazing how we put provisos on God's word where we can sit there and come up with a justification for stealing or lying or some other thing? But we know what God's will is. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy is understanding. And so you and I ought to be able to look at things and look at the decisions we make in life and the choices we make in life. And we ought to be able to look at that and say, what is God's will? And if we don't know, if we don't understand, the Bible says we are unwise. Are you wise or unwise? How wise are you and how unwise are you when it comes to your life? When it comes to the things you need to do? I mean, there are 1,000 questions that we deal with, and most people are just trying to get by. But if we're God's people, we're supposed to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I'm being very straightforward and simple on this message for a very simple reason. But just because something is simple doesn't mean it's not important. You have to be careful. You go into the in the 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11, Paul talks about, matter of fact, let's go over this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 real quick. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me double check it. But if I remember correctly, yep, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. He said, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, there is a simplicity in Christ, a simplicity in what it means to serve God. It's not complicated. The devil wants to make it complicated. You know, you have the ability to get on your knees before God and call out to God for salvation and everything else. Mankind wants to add all kinds of ceremonies and everything else on them. And they'll even take the things that God ordained and try to make it a part of salvation. That's what they do with baptism. Is baptism important? Absolutely. Is it necessary for salvation? No. Is it necessary for obedience? Yes. Simple. I talked about 1 John 1:9. You know, mankind wants to go to a priest or go to this person or a counselor or somebody or this person or that person and tell them all about it and tell them all that and confess everything to them, and then they'll tell you what to do. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boom, simple. Turn to Psalm 15 if you would. Psalm 15, I want to show you something in Psalm 15 that I think might help you look at simplicity. I believe it's Psalm 15 if I remember my Psalms correctly. Hopefully I'm remembering it correctly. But Psalm 15, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Not just with his mouth, but in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Look at the next phrase. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. But you know, I learned something as a young Christian. We had a, I think I've told y'all the story before. We had there was a Christian coffee shop called the Fire Escape. This guy started a Christian coffee shop, and we all liked coffee. We wanted to find Christian places to go and everything like that. And we'd go over there, and they'd have some live music and stuff like that. They'd be playing and everything like that. And we were in the Navy. And when I was in the Navy, and I was a young Christian, we went over there, and we were sitting down and talking. And the guy that was over there, he was like a nice guy. He seemed like he was, you know, just a real spiritual guy and everything like that. And then he started teaching pacifism. He started teaching that it was against God's law to be in the military. It was against God's word, and you needed to, you know, and he was wanting people to stand out. He actually caused some trouble. I have a dear brother in the Lord who got caught up with that, and they had a security alert, and he refused to draw his weapon and everything like that, and went to captain's mast and got busted and everything. Had a hard time. It cost him. That false doctrine cost him. But as I was struggling with the same thing, this is one of the passages of scriptures. And I was sitting there wondering. I said, what do I do? Well, I'm trying to figure this out. What do I do? Lord, should I quit? And I read this, and me and another brother, Lord, were studying together. And he pointed this out to me, and I read it. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. I got up there and I said, well, you know what? I took an oath. I may have done it wrong, but I took an oath, and I'm not going to go back on it. And that's what showed me what the will of the Lord was. Until I worked out this doctrinal issue about can a Christian be in the military? And the answer, by the way, is yes, they can. I don't have any problem. I can deal with that. But I was a young Christian. I didn't know a lot. I had this guy that was supposed to know more than me and everything like that. And he'd been a Christian for many, many years. So I just assumed he knew more. He didn't know more. He's just puffed up in his mind. And ended up with it got so bad that the Navy put a Christian coffee shop on the off-limits list for personnel. If you went there, you got in trouble. There were certain places you couldn't go. You know, Spruill Avenue outside Charleston Navy Base. You were not supposed to be on Spruill Avenue for any reason. Why? Because it was nothing but dope dealers and prostitutes and gangs and everything else. And they said Navy personnel have no business there. If you are found there, you will be prosecuted. And a lot of people went out there and they got prosecuted just for hanging out on Spruill Avenue. And they put a place that was supposed to be a Christian coffee shop on the same off-limits list as they did for all the other places, because that guy was causing so much trouble with his teaching. And it wasn't just, you know, us. It was some folks on other ships as well that were going there that were Christians. But, you know, that kept me out of a lot of trouble. That kept me out of it, just to understand. He that sweareth to his own hurt. I mean, I was seriously questioning. I didn't know. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, Brother Larry. I was a young Christian. I hadn't been saved but 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks at the most, not much more than that. And a couple months at the outside. And we started going there, and I was all happy about it. And I had a place to go where I didn't have to go, where I could go and enjoy some time off and meet with other Christians and everything like that. And I had a struggle in my heart about, well, did I make a mistake? Am I doing wrong by being in the Navy? But that showed me that I'd already made a vow. I was unwise until I saw that. We tried to show that to the brother who ended up going to captain's mass and getting busted down and losing rank and everything else and being disciplined and losing pay and being restricted to the ship and everything else. And he was doing what he thought was right, but it cost him. But he wouldn't listen to that. In fact, he got mad at us, if I recall correctly. But I mean, he stood for what he thought was right. You got to give him that. He paid a price. Got to give him that. But the problem was he didn't understand what the will of the Lord was there. Sometimes we do the same thing. We don't understand what God's will is. We're unwise. So I could go down a list and make me a nice long list of things that I could talk about and ask you. Maybe I ought to do that sometimes. Maybe I ought to take the time and make a whole list of things that are issues of the day and say, what's God's will here? But you have a Bible. Most time, and sadly many times, when we're unwise, it's because we simply choose to be unwise, either through neglect or willful rebellion. We know when something's wrong many times, even though we do it. But isn't that such a simple thing? Say, boy, I wish I was wise. You know, I don't have to be college educated, have 15 degrees, write a bunch of books to be wise. In fact, there's a heap of people that do that and aren't wise at all. Unless you consider them wise in their own conceits. And just because somebody has all that doesn't mean they're foolish. They might be wise. If they're godly people and they understand what the will of the Lord is, then they're wise. But you don't have to be a great educated person to be wise. All you have to do is find out what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Such a simple, simple message. You know, we go back to the things that he says before there. He said, see then, in verse 15, he said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's a measure of wisdom in understanding that the days are evil, that the days are short. We don't know what tomorrow brings, do we? Isn't that what we always tell lost people? If you don't know for sure you're saved, I tell a lot of times when I'm talking to people about their soul, I say, if you're not ready to die, you're not ready to live. Because the simple fact is, we tell people that hey, the day of your death is coming. You don't know when that's coming. The day of the Lord is coming. You don't know when that's coming. This could be your last opportunity to hear how much God loves you, to hear that Jesus died for you and paid for your sins and rose from the dead. This could be the last opportunity you get. There's an old preacher by the name, I think, J. Harold Smith, who preached a message called God's Three Deadlines. and went in there and showed the deadlines that people face when it comes to spiritual things. And I'm not going to recap the message for you, but you know, our history is replete with that. Old Baptist preacher by the name of R.G. Lee had a famous sermon called Payday Someday. There's coming a time when all the accounts are going to be settled up, and we don't know when that day is going to be. I mean, it's just, you go into historic sermons, you go into all those things. You go back to Jonathan Edwards preaching in Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. His text was, "Their foot shall slide in due time." There's coming a time when they'll fall. There's coming a time when judgment comes. And then, so we know that we ought to redeem the time, make the most of it, get back as much as we can. And then he says, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And he says, "Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord." Be filled with the Spirit. That's amazing. There's wisdom to that. Don't be drunk with wine where it is excess. I could also say don't be drunk on the world, which is full of excess. Some people are enamored with the world. People get addicted to the world. You know, it's kind of a funny thing. Everybody's whining and complaining about Facebook and Twitter and all the censoring that they're doing. And they're mad and angry. And the solution's right in their hands if people would pay attention. Just quit. If everybody canceled their Facebook and Twitter accounts that is mad about them, they you know how much money they would lose? We're talking in the billions of dollars it would cost them. But it doesn't cost them a thing, does it? And some people are so addicted to social media platforms that that's all they do. I mean, there are literally people who spend their entire lives on social media. It's even got to the point where they got some people that are paid to be on social media. They've made a career out of it. You know, I understand there's good and there's bad and all of that type of stuff in it. There's good content. There's things you keep in touch with family and all that type of stuff like that. There's all types of things there. But the truth of the matter is, you could fix all the abuse of power real quick if they just started losing money. I mean, I could talk about all types of things. We could go on and go on to so many different things. But our lives really boil down to just not being unwise, but being wise. And how do we become wise? How is it that we are wise? By understanding what the will of the Lord is. You may be facing a trial in your life. Have you ever asked yourself what the will of God is on that thing? Sometimes you may go through your life and you may be afraid because of your previous failures. You may be afraid to do the right thing because there might be a cost. There's a potential cost to it. I had to face that when I was in the Navy too. I've told that story before too. And I first made the wrong decision, then went back and made the, and told the truth. Made the right decision. After making the wrong decision. But I tell you right now, I'm happy I did. And God was merciful and God was gracious to me. He didn't owe me anything. And turned what should be my shame into a good testimony. Because God can do that. But it's not going to happen if we don't, if we're unwise. And if we don't understand what God's will is about something, then we're left to our own devices to choose, aren't we? You go down to the very beginning of the creation of man and his relationship with God, and God just simply told them, in effect, that all they needed to do was trust him and live by faith. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree that is in the midst of the garden thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Adam was brilliant. God brought him to, brought all the animals to him, and Adam named every one of them. Sometimes the scientists, they've got all these fancy Latin names that they've come up with. I wonder if they're just mad that God had one man name them all, and they're just mad, so they're trying to change the names on all of them so they can feel good about themselves. I don't know, but the bottom line is Eve made up her own mind, and then Adam made up his own mind. They both chose their way. And the devil, what would the devil say? Ye should be as gods, knowing good and evil. Not that they didn't know the difference between right and wrong. God had already told them the difference between right and wrong. But they were going to choose for themselves what was right and wrong. Eve looked at the tree and saw that it was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Well, God said, I'll eat of that, I'll die, but it looks pretty good to me. And he said it'd make me wise. And it's edible. Still doing the same thing, aren't we? Same failure. Over and over and over again. That's the nature of man. That's why we're told not to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out today. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for a simple message and the simple truth of your Word. Father, we pray that you'd help us to not be unwise, but to be wise, to understand what your will is in everything. But Lord, for us to understand that, we have to seek that wisdom. So Lord, help us to desire to know the truth about all things and desire to know the truth about your will for all things. Help us, we pray, to that end. Now, Father, as we leave here shortly, we just pray that you'd bless each one, bring us safely back together on Wednesday night. And Lord, we pray again that you'd bless the jail ministry tonight. And Lord, work in the hearts of those people that we go to. Lord, you know everyone we're going to speak to tonight. And I just pray you'd give us grace in their sights and that the Spirit would prepare their hearts to hear the Word of God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.